Hi, everybody. I'm Brittany Lewis with Forbes Breaking News. Joining me now is Mark Penn, Chairman and CEO of Stagwell Inc., and also Chairman of the Harris Poll. Mark, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
I want to dive into the wide-ranging Harvard Caps Harris poll that just came out. So let's talk about the favorability of some key political figures. When you parse through these results, what sticks out to you? What's piquing your interest?
Well, first, let me just say we do about 2,000 interviews every month. We have now for about 7 years. And we take a look at what we look at favorable, unfavorables of leading personalities and also institutions. Right? And so if you look at it, and we also look at the job ratings of various officials, and say President Biden's at about 45%, you know, of a job rating, up a couple of points, not this poll, but from a low a few polls ago, a little lower on his personal favorable. Donald Trump actually has gotten a higher personal favorable than we've seen lately, you know, at about 50%. If you look at some of the other items, the military probably is our most liked institution. We have a lot of institutions that have become fairly partisan. So they sit there, you know, around the 50s. And of course, at the bottom of the list of our favorable and favorables is Hamas with about 13% favorable.
Why do you think Trump has a higher favorable from the last time you polled?
Oddly, I think there's been this kind of big backfire. The more the Democrats use lawfare against him, and also I think the issue of immigration, you know, has really surged, and that was really Trump's big issue that he burst on the political stage with, and so he's seen right now as much more right on immigration compared to Joe Biden and the Democrats. And I think although there was a whole fracas about whether or not he said bloodbath or not, again, these dust-ups right now, they seem to be working more in his favor, because we see him surprisingly moving up into territories that I have not seen him in. He's usually around 44% favorable, and now he's edged up to 50.
RFK Jr., Elon Musk, Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy, and Donald Trump have the highest favorability in this subset. What do you think that this indicates?
Well, you know, if you take a look at things, America likes people who are poking the system in the eye, right? And I think there's a American tradition that when you're an outsider and a challenger, we almost always give you a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. And when you're an insider or a government, you've got to prove yourself even more. So Musk has a 46-37 or a plus 10. Robert F. Kennedy, 49-32, favorable, unfavorable, plus 17. Trump's at 50-45, plus 4. Biden's at 44-51. He's underwater by 7 points. Harris is 42-50, underwater by 8 points. Hillary Clinton, underwater by 10 points. So at least in personal favorability, and this is pretty surprising, it's really a reversal over what we saw at the start of the Biden term. At the start of the Biden term, he was very popular as a kind of nice, avuncular, kind of new, almost your uncle president. And I think a lot of that has worn off.
Those people that you were noting that their favorability is underwater are all Democrats. No Democrats that you found had a net positive likability. Is this unprecedented? What do you make of this?
It's not so unprecedented, because we live in what I call a 40-40-20 country. 40% are really solid Democrat, 40% solid Republican, 20% are really constitute the core swing voters. And consequently, it's very easy to get to 40, very hard to get above 50. And so you get a lot of political figures that are hunkering between 40 and 50 and are net negative on both sides of the aisle. And usually both leaders of the parties, anybody who's seen as partisan really has a net negative, and almost all our political figures are seen as partisan.
President Biden has a net negative of 7%. Is this common for an incumbent president at this time of their term, especially when they're facing re-election?
Well, it's not what you'd want to see. You would want to see, you know, you'd want to see something more like Trump has. You'd want to see a 50-45. But, you know, some presidents are liked for their personality. Other presidents are liked for their policies. Others are liked for their performance. So sometimes it's not unusual. When I used to work with President Clinton, his personal favorable was always lower than his job rating, right? And his job rating always used to be higher because they said, well, I'm not so sure I like the guy, although some people really loved Clinton, others, you know, particularly on the R side, didn't. But they would say, you know, I got to admit he's doing a good job. We're not quite seeing this here. I mean, we're seeing that the president, even after the State of the Union, has relatively tough reelection ratings, but those reelection ratings are not, you know, they're not so dire that he couldn't get reelected. He certainly can win, you know, in this range. 45% job approval is kind of the minimum you need to win, and he's hanging in there with that.
Let's now pivot a bit to top issues facing the country. The top three are immigration, price increases and inflation, and economy and jobs. What sticks out to you here?
Well, what's really surprising is how in the last couple of months, immigration has surged as an issue. This, of course, has been an issue, but it's been way down the issue chart for a long time. And then the last couple of months, it burst out even to number one, even ahead of the economy. And I just haven't seen that in 30, 40 years, maybe in the 1980s when crime was the number one issue. And so when migrants were transported to the different cities and when the different cities reported that they really needed all sorts of funds to deal with this, schooling, and housing, all of these things that have been confined somehow to Texas, this thing exploded as a national issue of concern. And of course, that issue is a lot more favorable to the Republicans at this point.
Polls indicate, I was going to ask that because polls indicate former President Donald Trump would be better suited at handling immigration than President Biden. So when you look at the top issues facing the country, does this signal bad news for Democrats?
Well, it's not the greatest news. is climate change number one? Look, the Democratic issues, climate change, abortion, racial equality, they're important issues. Guns, gun safety, they all have constituencies. So those constituencies, you know, add up to an important segment of the electorate, and they may get a lot of voters who vote on those. But right now, at the very top, immigration, inflation, economy, crime, those really tilt in favor of the Republicans. Of course, the Republicans seem to have a fairly disorganized party, not a very clear message machine. They may have the issue chart in their favor, but they may not be able to utilize it effectively in the campaign.
After Roe v. Wade was overturned in 2022, we saw Democrats really galvanize voters around issues like reproductive rights, abortion, things like that. Because that's not a top issue right now, at least in the top eight, what do you make of that?
Well, sometimes issues are not at the top, but they can be very important to core groups of swing voters. And suburban women in the country have been an incredible core group. They typically, in previous elections, voted much more Republican than people really realized. Abortion as a fundamental right, whether or not they're utilizing abortion services, they just believe in the right for a woman to control her own body and to have the right to do that. Abortions themselves are actually only about 25-30% of what they used to be in numbers and are mostly in three states, New York, Illinois, and California. But as an issue, it's a national issue on a fundamental rights basis. And so it'll be interesting to see how Trump manages it. I think he's made clear that he's not going to do something like Ron DeSantis did, who was really kind of doing well in his presidential campaign until he signed a six-week abortion law, and that seemed to end his campaign right then and there. He never recovered.
As we all know, right now we're sitting about 8 months out from the presidential election. Do you think that these are going to be the top issues facing the country in November? Is there a lot of change that you would anticipate? What does that look like?
Well, you know, the thing about politics is You never fully anticipate what actually happens. It's pretty rare that everything stays the same. You don't know what's going to happen. Could China invade Taiwan and suddenly foreign policy would become important? I mean, despite what's going on in Israel with Hamas, you don't really see Israel being of interest to more than 2% of the voters. The voters are very much focused on domestic issues. And so events could happen, you know, could something, you know, unfortunate happen like happened in Moscow. So right now the issues are the ones that we've talked about, but events could change. Russia could do something, terrorists could do something. Overnight, these things have a habit. If nothing else happens, these are going to be the issues. Although I think the economy and the inflation picture has generally been slowly improving. And if you notice, it's not the number one issue anymore. And that's actually better news for Biden.
Let's now talk about the top issues facing voters personally. Inflation is still at the number one spot there, but it's down 3 percentage points from last month. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that voters are still concerned about the economy. But if you were to go back to last summer, the concern was through the roof, right? And I think gradually it's come down. It's sort of plateaued. Almost half the people still think that they see themselves as worse. About 60 some odd percent see the economy is in the wrong direction. But the intensity of that has come down. But people see inflation. They see that they overwhelmingly see that the increases in prices as sticky. And inflation coming down when they're stuck with higher prices doesn't help all that much, right? Because the truth is they're facing themselves, they're facing higher prices. So I think that is kind of a really big factor here, but at least it's not accelerating. If we're accelerating, I think Biden wouldn't have a chance. Where it is now, it's getting more and more manageable as an issue.
To your point, the economy is doing better now than it was a year ago. And lawmakers and commentators alike have told me that sentiment takes about 6 to 8 months to catch up. There's a lag time there. Do you think that's good news for President Biden?
Well, he's got a few months for it to catch up. But I also think in election years, they sort of stop believing anything around August. So they're not really, you know, I think you have between here and the conventions for potential improvement in how people view the economy or view their lives. But if you ask most people, are they better off today? That's not a good question for Biden. And when you ask people, you know, what kind of job do you think President Trump did? Most people think President Trump did a better job as president. And so the window here to erase those is definitely shrinking.
This poll also found that immigration is up 4 points from last month. What do you make of that?
I think that again shows that the seriousness of this issue, that it's still surging, that the trips to the border, the saying that it's the Republicans' fault, none of that actually did anything. People used to think that there was a very small number of people coming in, and now they understand that it's millions of people. It's totally different from what they thought. Biden administration's got to do something about it. It's the number one issue dragging this administration down.
It can be argued that Republicans are winning messaging when it comes to immigration, but issues that Democrats are usually winning include climate change, abortion, racial equity, and curbing guns. These aren't in the top three. So what do you think this means for the left?
Well, look, I think the left has had remarkable support within the party itself, and that too much of the Democratic campaign is in fact oriented towards trying to increase turnout among left-wing voters while abandoning swing voters. And I think that's why Trump is winning in virtually every poll, because the left is going to come out to vote against Trump, and the administration keeping to the left not going to help them at all. It's going to continue, I think, to have their ratings, in fact, slide. But look, if you want to win a mandate, you've got to go to the center and push off against the left.
Now let's pivot to a head-to-head matchup between presumptive GOP nominee Donald Trump and Joe Biden. What's that looking like?
Well, right now, I think in the previous months, we showed a wider gap. We showed about a 2-point gap now with Trump ahead. Of course, if Trump is ahead in the popular vote by 2 points, that means in the swing states, he's probably ahead by more, because there are a lot of Democrats who vote in New York and California far beyond the 50% level. So I think that you really kind of see, we believe it's narrowed somewhat after State of the Union. What'll happen from here, we don't know. When we add some of the other, Robert F. Kennedy and Jill Stein and whatnot, it tends to expand to 3 or 4 points. Jill Stein and Cornel West are not very helpful to the Democrats. Kennedy is pretty much equal. To bring Kennedy in and have a 1-point difference in reality, who knows if he's going to make any difference. He's very much, I think, pulling more from the center. The main thing is that Trump is winning. He's more favorably perceived. His job as president is more favorably perceived. So I think even, when you look at this race, it still is up to the Biden campaign to do something that breaks through.
Trump is facing a swath of legal challenges, especially today alone. Do you see that impacting the horse race at all?
Well, we've polled a number of times on the legal challenges, and people are concerned about January 6th, if he was in any way tied to the actual violence or the riot there. The other cases don't seem to make any difference. Classified documents, they certainly make no difference. In this polling now, they made even less difference. I think than we've seen before. So a lot of this seems to have backfired. Trump seems to have done better. This enormous bond was just reduced somewhat, but certainly to have no trial, no jury, a judge issue these things, say that Mar-a-Lago is worth $12 million. None of that made particular sense to people, although they didn't really understand what was going on in New York anyway. They have a better understanding of some of the classified document cases. So I think that as a practical matter here, we're seeing minimal impact on this. And I think January 6th, if they have evidence that shows him as part of an insurrection, as opposed to just having a rally and telling people to peacefully march, that would make the biggest difference.
I know you said earlier that the support for RFK Jr. was split pretty evenly between Democrats and Republicans, but why are other third party candidates like Cornel West and Jill Stein effectively helping Donald Trump?
Well, those candidates are getting small to minimal votes, and they tend to draw it almost entirely from the left. So in that case, they do more likely than not, although some of the people who vote for them are just people who wouldn't vote because they don't like the choice. So they wouldn't vote anyway. But to the extent that they do drain, they drain off some percentage, whereas Kennedy's in a different class. He's getting a potentially substantial vote. So that makes him, a fair candidate, and he's getting a substantial vote while making a minimal difference between the two candidates. So he's beginning, to run a real campaign, and he may run one.
And in a head-to-head matchup, as you already said, Donald Trump is beating President Joe Biden, but his lead is decreasing month over month. Can you read the tea leaves here for us? Should he be worried? What does that look like?
This is going to be a tough race. I mean, this is going to be hard fought. I think Democrats have consolidated around their candidate. Republicans have mostly consolidated around theirs. I think the biggest issue here is that the voters who are pulling Biden to the left, those voters are definitely voting for Biden no matter what they say. They are not, at the end of the day, going to vote or let Donald Trump in. So in many ways, that's doing damage to the campaign. If you go back, Gore, the very end of his campaign, he had a very close race with Bush and a very, very close race, as it turned out, but he veered over to the left in the end. And then Bush took the centrist voters, came from behind and effective and won, right? And so had Gore not veered over to the left and not been pulled, you know, over to people versus the powerful, he probably would have won easily. And here you have Joe Biden, actually his race becomes more and more difficult the more he's pulled over to the left part of the party, because it will be swing voters, it will be suburban voters who will really decide this race. And those voters are more in the center. So I think right now, both sides are neglecting the center. Both sides are digging in deep into their bases. That's why candidates like Kennedy immediately have double digit, opportunities. When the two campaigns should instead be operating to find that 20% in the middle who is really going to and tell their bases, hey, we'll talk to you, near election day when it comes time to really rev up the choice.
I do not want to talk about solely President Biden. You asked voters what they believed his biggest accomplishment was. What did you find?
Well, interestingly, his biggest accomplishment goes around prescription drugs and whatever efforts. It's a very, it's something that's not even talked about. I noticed that they have polling that must show the same thing because he mentioned it in the State of the Union. But you have a lot of senior and other voters who are very concerned about the issue. And so some of those healthcare benefits and the competition on prescription drug pricing was actually seen as his most powerful accomplishment.
Do you think, though, then the Democrats and President Biden should be running on that? Because you just said you don't really hear that. Do you think they should be touting that accomplishment a bit more loudly?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think the poll shows a pretty good roadmap on that, that they would want to talk that out.
The answer that got the most votes is none when asked what's the biggest accomplishment as president of President Biden's. Is that surprising?
It's not exactly surprising, as I've seen that before, and also because there's such a large counter base of about 40% who are just solid Republicans. I think both candidates here are going to get kind of a large none vote on this.
And on the flip side, what did voters find was President Biden's biggest failure?
Well, it's interesting. When we would ask this question 6 months ago, people said Afghanistan, and today they said the border. And it just underscores the extent to which the border and weak leadership in foreign affairs is also, very important. To the extent he came out and he was a strong supporter of Israel, and now today they've even backed a ceasefire resolution. It looks like he is weak and waffling, and the more he has waffled and shown weakness against Iran, against Hamas, the more his ratings on foreign policy have tanked, not improved.
Has not had any meaningful failures, is tied for second to last. Does that spell out bad news for Biden?
No. I mean, look, I think these questions just say, look, you got some accomplishments that people don't talk about as much, like what you did with prescription drugs, and you got some weaknesses that are very clear. You know what they are, and are you going to sidestep them or are you going to try to confront them directly? If you can win even with these strengths and weaknesses, but it'd be a lot easier if you could take the weaknesses off the table.
You did pose a question about Trump's New York civil fraud case, and when you asked about the fairness of the verdict, what did you find?
The fairness of the verdict in the fraud case was somewhat divided. I don't think they really could figure out much about this fraud case, one way or the other. They weren't shocked by him having to put up the bond. So on the fraud case, I think they don't really have, they don't really know much about it. They don't fully understand it. Unlike some of the other cases.
And what do you think this means, if anything, for his legal challenges going forward then?
I don't think it means a lot. I mean, I think that it's going to be up to the judges. And what we've seen is that this stuff doesn't really have much impact, maybe even helps them most of the time. To the extent that these appear to be personal political battles, And Letitia James attacks Donald Trump, or Fannie Willis says she's going to get trains moving, and not kind of sober, I'm applying the law, you know, the way it was. Well, then obviously these just become political battles instead of legal ones.
When we look at all of this data about the head-to-head matchup, the top issues, key political figures, what's surprising to you?
Well, look, I'm generally surprised by how Trump has really come back. He's come back and overcome so many different obstacles and consolidated his party. I'm surprised that Biden has so easily consolidated the Democrats. I'm surprised that we just ultimately have a repeat of the previous election. I'm surprised that immigration has become as big an issue as it is. And so there's a lot here, I think, that some of which we thought was, well, this was all likely to happen and we were likely to have Biden and Trump, but still, here we are. And that's a surprise. And so I think it's gonna be a very close election campaign. Plus or minus 2 points is not something that is going to be easily overcome by either party. I think it's going to be the most expensive campaign. And, you know, look, I wouldn't leave out, we also ask about Hunter Biden, and most people think that Joe Biden was involved in Hunter Biden's business. And so that'll be kind of a renewed element, in here, though what happens when both candidates are disliked and there are charges and countercharges on both sides. Actually, it turns out that those elections turn on issues. And because they say, well, I don't like either of them, so how am I gonna vote? Well, they're gonna vote about what makes more of a difference in their own lives. And they're gonna say, well, what's more important to me? Immigration, inflation, climate change, abortion? What makes a real difference to me? So it's a very surprising thing with these harsh, negative personal campaigns actually then turn more likely on issues. And so that is yet another surprise, I think. And I don't think people have made up their minds yet entirely on which issue is most important to them.
I think if you asked anyone after the 2020 election, no one would say that we would be having a Groundhog Day now in 2024, that there would be a 2020 rematch. So if you're so surprised by this Trump resurgence, what do you think you could attribute his comeback to?
Well, we used to call Clinton the comeback kid. Trump, I think Trump has kind of earned that title so far. And a lot of the lessons of Trump, stay in the game. I'm sorry, of Clinton, stay in the game, never get out, wade through it, get back to what makes you kind of, strong. I think you see him, I think it's pretty remarkable. It's certainly unexpected, but then I didn't think he could win the presidency the first time. So I'm very surprised that he's taken not just a position, not a position where you would think Joe Biden was up by 10. You're looking at a rematch here, and the biggest difference in the rematch here is a single thing. It's Joe Biden's record. Joe Biden didn't have a record when he won the first time, and he does have one now. That's really the decisively different element.
We're sitting here, as I've said earlier, 8 months from Election Day about, and I know a lot can change. There's a lot of different variables, but what's on your radar as we are this far out from the election?
Again, we're just gonna look, there's always a campaign and a campaign about the campaign. So the campaign is really about the issues and people's positions on them. What position will Trump take on abortion? Will anybody believe him? What will Biden do on the border? What plans do either of them have for another term? Because I've heard very few ideas from either side on that. And then there's the campaign about the campaign. Who's more negative? Who's got more money? Who's got the press? Who's gonna lock up whom? And I think you kind of watch those two campaigns here closely, see who wins each one. Ultimately, the real campaign is the campaign you have to watch.
Mark Penn, thank you so much for your insights. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you.